This recording was done before the lockdown in the United States, but as you listen to it, see if you can work out ways in which you could still use it. For example, reach out to people on the phone, reach out to people on the internet, see if you can help people who are struggling, and there are a lot of people who are emotionally struggling. So if you could support people virtually, which is a wonderful way. Volunteer, in a sense, virtually. Just be creative in the ways that you can support yourself and support others. And take a little time if you're close to nature, even if you look out at the clouds or are able to just walk around your yard. Nature is incredibly healing and everything's ready to help. So if you are listening to this, just transport it into more of what you can do virtually. You could make a book club online, or you could have a discussion group online. You could start a meditation or a Facebook group where you meet once a day to support each other, just sharing what it is that's going on for you, sharing what it is that you're feeling and how tools that you can share together to get through this as a community. It's amazing how we can do it and create new ways, virtual ways of being together. This is Earth Tribe Radio, www.earthtriberadio.com. Hey, Jill.
Hi, Fiona. So, we're in a time, a pretty much a scary time right now with this coronavirus. I read this morning that the World Health Organization is about to call it a pandemic.
Mm.
And one of the things I'm aware of, as this grows, there are a lot of people who live alone and feel very vulnerable and are scared by this. And I was wondering whether we could talk about this and come up with some ideas to help people, whether they live alone, and especially if they live alone, to not live in fear. What do we do?
Well, let's go maybe before this could happen and consider, let's get back to that, but let's get to the fact that we live in a culture that has almost idolized individualism as opposed to community. And I think that if we could think of ourselves more as community, and you know, we'll go into what you just said in a second, but I do think we want to look at ourselves as more of a community and build a community around us. That very often means volunteering at the Humane Society or at the homeless shelter or somewhere that you could go. Even going to your church and volunteering there, or your temple, whatever it is.
I think that's the crux of so many things. I know that when I've been in a difficult time, the way out for me is to go help somebody else. And it's usually somebody who has it worse than I do. But I have a friend now who lives alone. She's had a stroke, so she's slightly compromised. She's not quite as old as me, but she does. She does all the flowering arrangement at the church. She volunteers on different committees, you know, doing things. And she's really getting a full life now, which I think is wonderful.
And then when people are in need, then very often the people that volunteer with them or around them will volunteer to come and help, or you can call in help. You know, there are a lot of organizations like HELP, H-E-L-P, in Ojai, that
Help of Ojai
that have buses and people who will come and read and meals that they will deliver. And there are often organizations, I think, to search out organizations like that could be really helpful too.
Yeah, and if you live in a place where you're alone and you have a car, you could volunteer to people. Do you need help taking you to get your groceries? Do you need help going to making your medical appointments? And they pay you to drive them to their medical appointments too. So, you know, if you're not in a town, but in a village maybe that doesn't offer that, create something, you know.
It's about creating a community, which we are not good at because, again, we've been idolizing the individuality for so long in our culture that I think we have to start thinking, okay, the individuality hasn't really worked very well for our culture. So how can I create a community around myself?
Yeah.
And that, as you said, volunteering, helping other people, making yourselves available for that. Yeah, I know with the help of OHAI, you can even volunteer to go and read to somebody, mm-hmm. some blind person or person who can't read anymore.
Or if you love animals, go to the local shelter.
Yeah, my daughter's volunteering at the Humane Society. She's a kitty cuddler up in Northern California. So yeah, there's so many things you can do. And when you do that, you start to get a community around you. Initially, it may feel uncomfortable because you're so used to being on your own and you don't really like to go out and meet a lot of people. But if you can do that, then you start to create a community. You find this person that you can go for coffee with, and then slowly you can build a community.
Yeah.
And that is so important.
Where are the needs in where you live? What's needed? And very often with young people who don't have a job, perhaps, if they look around, what is needed that isn't being offered in your surrounds? And you could create something like that. And then you create yourself not only a full job, but building a working force that gives work to others. And that's how it begins.
And there may also be support groups. I know you have to be a bit careful online, but going to a safe support group online.
I would say stay, I don't know. I'm still a bit leery about support
online
groups
things,
online.
Yeah.
There are so many people that are manipulated that way.
I know.
And anyway, if we go to group meetings, if you can get to one or start one, if you need
a book club.
Yes.
A meditation club. A meditation evening.
Book clubs are great,
mm-hmm.
because it gets you thinking outside yourself, because you're going to discuss the books, and each week somebody else chooses the book. Another one that was so helpful is a grief group, because there are people sometimes who are grieving and have no one to grieve with. So if you establish a support group for those people who are grieving, that's another way of, you know.
Yeah, you can think of so many things. And the most important thing is, how can I begin to create community around myself?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go to the other place then. So if we're feeling really alone and we haven't got much of a community around us, or our communities all over the world,
right.
maybe for some people, if they've traveled a lot, I would say, you first of all, you want to find ways to find that wholeness within you. Because the reason you're scared is you're going outside that wholeness and away from the oneness into fear, which is so easy to do.
Yeah, that's so true. I've always thought, and it always depends upon how we were raised and what our experiences were being raised, but I think I learned pretty early on, because I just experienced such utter loneliness most of my young adult life, probably, is the key to that is becoming your own best friend.
Mm.
And that's one of the reasons why, until it became impossible for me to travel, I used to travel alone for a month every year. Go to places I've never been to, I've been alone. But when I come back, I remember who I am, and I'm my own best friend. So
what steps would you say if people say, well, that sounds good, but how do I do it?
Okay.
Because many people can't travel.
Yes, and I can't travel now, and yet I still have to be my own best friend. So it would be taking time for myself, taking time for how I like to wake up in the morning. I like to have a routine that I have created that has not been created for me. So if I start my routine by getting out of bed, what do? I go wash, clean my face, brush my teeth. Then I get dressed, I make my bed. That's always the same. Then I do the kitty litter. Then I feed the cats. And then I make myself breakfast. Now, I so enjoy that because I feel like I'm important, because I'm doing what I need
for you,
for me. Now, when you're in a marriage or in a community setting or you're in an apartment living with people, you have to get you have to be aware of everybody else's needs. But I think the main thing is to find a rhythm and a balance that suits you when you get up in the morning, and the same thing when you go to bed at night. When I go to bed at night, I like to have an hour in bed reading, doing a crossword puzzle. That is sacrosanct to me. Then I'm back to doing what I love. So I think that's really important to start off. And if somebody says to you, oh, don't be so selfish, you're not paying attention to what I need, and you could say, I'm very well aware of what you need, and I would like to help you with your needs, but I need to also help me with what I need, and this is how I need to start my day, this is what I need to end my day, this is what I need to go through my day.
And it's comforting.
It's very comforting.
A routine that gives you comfort. It could be anything.
And you actually beginning to look after yourself.
The other thing is, it's harder to maintain balance when we watch a lot of television, and especially commercial television, because the ads come at you so fast, it excites your brain, puts your brainwaves into an excited state. When you're in that space, you can't really easily feel the calmness or where you are. So if you could take a little time when you wake up and a little time before you go to sleep, they're saying an hour each side, to slow down your brainwaves, or to speed up in the morning your brainwaves. But if you can do that, what happens is that you can find that pathway into yourself. If it's so excited, if your brainwaves are so excited, there's no ability to go through into that pathway of stillness within you.
You're so right, because we are being force-fed by the television, by commercials and shows and everything, to compare ourselves to what we don't have, what we need. We don't need any of that. So if I think here in the world, if you look through the world, there are a lot of places that don't have television, or if they have television in a village, and it's in one place and they all go to that place to watch the television. But there's so much more inventiveness in the people who are not controlled by the media. You know, and I keep thinking these countries that have none of the whistles and bells that we have are actually going to save us in the end, because we're being trained to just be fed information, which is not correct.
The thing with the two of us too, though, we've traveled, me very much early on, you more inclusively in your life, but I did a lot of traveling when I was young, and one of the things that I always thought was so fascinating in these places that were supposedly underdeveloped or third world, you usually saw a lot of smiling faces.
Oh, yes. I love the story of my sister who was living in Kathmandu in Nepal, and she was studying the Tibetan language because she wanted to be a translator. And so she was doing her Buddhist studies and learning, and my parents had a big... my sister was coming back for a visit from Kathmandu. I was in London, and my parents said, we're having a big house party. Why don't you two girls come back to America and be at the party? It was a pool party. There were a lot of famous people there. It was Hollywood, you know. I knew a number of people there. My sister knew a number of people there. And she looked at me and she said, everywhere I go in Nepal and in Tibet, people are smiling. They have nothing and they're smiling. Look at the faces here. Everybody seems dissatisfied. I'm going back. And she turned around and flew back to Nepal. And that really amazed me. I thought, so that stuck with me. I keep thinking about, where are people smiling? Where?
At least up in Ojai, people do smile more. People smile more. If you look at somebody, they usually will smile or say hi. And that's one of the reasons I love being in Ojai.
It's so true. And when I moved here for temporary to Oxnard to my sons, they don't smile and they don't hug like they do in Ojai. And then I realized it's a teaching that the wonderful Heyoka medicine man Chubb's black bear on the Lakota reservation, would say to me when I came back from ceremony on the reservation in South Dakota, and I'd say, oh, it's so scary here in Los Angeles. I can't go outside. It's so, I've lost the sacred. And he said, the sacred is all around you, Jill. It's just underneath the concrete. And the reason that you come out and do ceremony is to bring it to them. So I feel the same way kind of about this, is we bring the light, we bring the help. We don't have to hide away from it. We have to, but we have to nourish that within ourselves.
You know? Kind of like when you can, and you can't do it all the time, just remember to stay in that space of love, to breathe mm-hmm. from your heart. And that's the same thing. If you're feeling scared, you might want to check out a company called Heart, H-E-A-R-T, Math. Heart Math. Mm-hmm. They have techniques and even machines that you can use that will bring you into balance and show you how to use your heart
Great
to balance
idea.
The brain, because the heart actually balances the brain. It's not it's not the other way. The heart is the strongest electrical organ, and they've done so much research that it's worthwhile checking out Heart Math, because they just have these wonderful things that they ideas. And you can do something simple, which is just put your hand on your belly and put your hand on your heart and just breathe in and out until you feel a relaxing. When you feel that everything relaxing, the brain will start to follow.
One of the things I was thinking about yesterday as I was driving, and everybody's trying to find a way to shake hands without shaking hands now. You know, we were talking about the elbows and the feet. Well, the Peruvians do it the best way. To my mind, they cross their hands over it and put it in front of their heart, their arms close to their body, and then they open their hands, they open their hearts to you. That's all
lovely.
They do, instead of grabbing part of your body.
And mm-hmm. I thought, or banging hands or something.
Yeah, but that's how we should do it, even mm-hmm. if it's one hand. And the other thing, if you get back into balance, I've felt, is if you've lost connection, and that's another thing I want to talk about, is connection. But if you've lost connection, put your hand on the center of your chest, between your boobs maybe, and breathe into it. Breathe into your hand. Feel your hand, okay, so that there's that connection until you settle down. That's a really lovely way to settle down, is to breathe into your hand. You can feel your body moving as you inhale and exhale. Come back to yourself.
That is a wonderful thing. And if you look at most of the Egyptian statues, they have their hands, when they're meditating, on their knees. The Indians put themselves up, had their hands up towards the sky, but the Egyptians had their hands down on your knees, because that connects you to the earth and grounds
exactly.
you, because we tend to be so ungrounded. As Roselyn Breuer used to always say, we look like an upside down pear energetically. We don't have much on the ground. So if you want to just sit, put the corners of your lips up, which always lightens our energy. Don't think of smiling. Put your hands on your knees, downwards, palms down, and just sit for a moment and breathe with the corners of your lips up and your hands on your knees. That grounds you and balances you. And we've got so much about this in other podcasts, but if you're feeling alone and scared, you need first to do some things to balance your heart, to ground yourself, and to just realize that you are never alone.
Yeah, this is so important, because right now there's a lot out there to frighten people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on a different level. It's on a different level than it has been before, with the stock market going down and all of that. So really the thing is to connect with yourself. Connect with yourself, get yourself grounded, create what is needed around you for you, and if it's needed for others, invite them in to be part of the same thing, creating a community based on the shared experience that you're going through.
And I think a lot of people are probably scared to reach out at this time because of getting the virus, mm-hmm. right? So I think you can, if you have a friend you haven't reached out to, there's a friend in New York when we met them last, actually when our house burnt down, they immediately wired us $5,000 and said, this is not a loan, it's a gift. And within the next day, so that we'd have walking around money immediately, which was so generous. But one of the things they said is you have to nurture your friends. If you have a childhood friend that you found on Facebook, call them occasionally. Nurture mm-hmm. old friendships. Mm-hmm. And then just find out which ones you want to have now, which ones still match. Like, they won't all match. But reach out to some old friends and start to nurture the friendships, mm-hmm. because then you can do it on the phone. There's some statistic about, you know, you just spend 20 minutes on a phone with a friend and you lower your stress rate and your heart rate and everything. And I think that, so just asking yourself, which of my friends that I've had in the past would I like to reconnect mm-hmm. with, and nurture your friendships, mm-hmm. and create your community.
And maybe spend a day in a comfortable chair, in a comfortable place for you that is private, where you can spend the day reaching out one at a time, writing a letter, writing a note, beginning a story.
Remembering fun times that you had together.
Well, and that's the important thing. You know, when you say remembering fun times, that is so important, because as times change. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, I used to have that sort of way of thinking. So I thought, let's change that around. Let's reframe that into, wasn't that fun mm-hmm. when I had that? Wasn't it fun when I did this? Wasn't it fun when I had this time with that person? Instead of thinking what you don't have now. What is happening now is changing everything. We're in the middle of a big change, and we want to attract the good higher vibrations of this change.
That's important, to keep ourselves healthy too.
Yes, exactly.
Because if we have a lot of negative thinking, it's like taking a lot of sugar.
It brings an illness.
Brings the immune system down.
Yeah.
So it's very important. Whatever uplifts you, do it now. Yeah. And it also makes you feel less alone.
Yeah. And if you like chocolate and you shouldn't have chocolate, give yourself a little piece of chocolate every Sunday.
So, yeah, you know? And it doesn't have to be a lot. My dad...
No, that's what I'm saying, a little piece.
My dad, after lunch, every day for his entire adult life, had two little squares of chocolate after lunch. And he ate them slowly and he really enjoyed them. He always had this box of chocolate. But, you know, many people have finished the box of chocolate by the end of the week.
Well, that would be an interesting thing to spend time on, studying yourself. I'm going to allow myself this. I'm going to work on this.
And eat it slowly enjoy it. Be conscious and mindful with
it. As it melts in your mouth, let it slide down your throat and across your tongue. Yes.
I think that really enjoying things, enjoying your tea, enjoying eating slowly and enjoying every piece of the food, all of that can make us just feel more complete, more connected, because everything that we eat has given its life, even everything we drink.
Exactly, that's why.
So it's being thankful,
I give thanks,
and mindful
before.
About that.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And the other thing you mentioned very much earlier, which was animals. Animals are incredible companions that make us not feel mm-hmm. alone. Mm-hmm. And if you're older, though, make sure you get an older animal. Mm-hmm. Don't get like a kitten or a puppy, because they're crazy little things. Get a 4 or 5 year old.
Yeah.
We rescued a 6.5 year old, and she's been such a light in our lives. Actually, a dog. But get one to match your age a bit.
Yeah.
You know, so that they're not kind of so crazy and wild. And
and if you can't do an animal, which I would love to see everybody with an animal, we are given so much with.
And they give so much.
Is a plant, too, mm-hmm. and develop a relationship with a plant. And it could be an indoor plant, it could be an outdoor tree.
It may not even be yours. It could be a tree you pass on the street.
Well, as a child, I used to fall in love with trees. I still love trees. And I used to say, that's my tree over there. And I would climb the tree. I had a tree, this is out on Long Island during the hurricane season. So, okay, I'm going to climb. I want to feel like what it's like to be in a hurricane. So I climbed the tree and tied myself onto the branches during
it's
the hurricane.
So cute.
Yes. So,
so you would be safe in a hurricane, you thought?
Oh, and the time that we had snow, it was the drifts against the house were 8 feet deep.
Wow.
And I was going to jump out of my second floor bedroom window thinking, oh, this is going to be great. And somebody called me just before because they would have had to dig me out. It was so deep.
Oh, my gosh.
I didn't even think about that at the time. But you see, here's, we didn't have television, so the outdoors meant a lot to us. Our animals, you know, we had...
Our friends.
Were our friends, our companions, and we were outdoors sharing our life with each other.
And I think sometimes... TV is a friend for people. If you can just minor that a little bit, if you could just, you still use it if you need it, because oftentimes, like I know somebody who's a friend of mine who likes to have some talking on because she's alone so much. So she'll put the TV on and just listen to the talking.
Yeah.
But if you're sitting in front of it and watching all of the happy people, all the miserable people, whatever you're watching, it really plays with your mind. So maybe give yourself times so and watch enjoyable things, things that are funny and light and loving. Try to keep away from the miserable
and another
stuff.
Thing absolutely because there are people who are stuck in their homes. I know, since I used to travel a lot and I can't travel anymore, if I do find myself in front of a television, I will look for a travel channel to see where they are that I haven't been to, and I could get to see that place.
There's some wonderful travel shows on. There's one that I love called Footloose in wherever it is, Footloose in Prague, Footloose in London.
Okay.
There's just this couple that does it just themselves. He has a camera, she does the talking from England. And there are so many fun travel programs. And as I said to Bob, I don't need to travel much anymore because I watch my travel shows.
If you tune into those stations, most of them, a lot of those don't have commercials. The other suggestion is if you're indoors most of the time and have the television on, I hope you have a remote, because the best thing you can do for yourself is every time a commercial comes on, mute it.
Yes.
Don't listen to it.
Yes.
You're grabbing part of yourself back in that way.
Well, the thing is that the commercials are almost always louder and the energy's faster.
Mm-hmm.
Because the frames they put in the commercials are usually like bang, 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 bang. It excites your brain and it gets the ad into your head.
That's done on purpose.
Yes.
In order to get you to buy stuff or feel inadequate.
Fast frames get into your head faster. So,
in England, we used to call that having a tea break. So as soon as the commercial came on,
turn it off.
We would turn it down and then go make a cup of tea.
That's a good one. Well, maybe we can all think of that. Well, these are a few things. There are so many more things that we can do when we're feeling alone or when we're living alone and we're scared by something like the coronavirus or anything else that might come up. There's so much more, so maybe we'll do another show.
Yeah, but meanwhile, become your own best friend.
Yes.
Treat yourself. Make yourself laugh. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy moments with yourself.
And connect to the deeper part of you, because when we're looking outside here all the time, it feels like we should be fulfilled from the outside, so we feel very alone and disconnected.
Mm.
If you're on the inside part of the time too, with the corners of the lips up, with your hands on your knees, soft belly, as Jill always says, we can connect with that part of us that's so vast and so complete, that there is no aloneness, because we know that we're connected. I do, you know, the Buddhists do have that wonderful exercise of breathing in all, I'm not so sure about the suffering, but breathing in everybody on the planet and then just breathing out love. I don't think it's exactly right, but...
Well, yes, that is the giving and taking. It's called the giving and taking. It's very complicated and very... But absolutely beautiful. But here's another way to think about that, and a lot lighter, is when you need to calm yourself down, you're going to breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. And we call it smelling the rose and blowing out the candles.
And you could just breathe in and then breathe out love and see that love just going through your house, through everything you own, out into your community, through the world, and through the universe. And when we breathe out love, we get in tune with it more and more.
So in the inhaling through the nose, you want to inhale all the beautiful smells in the world, all the love and light in the world, and exhale through your mouth, blowing out the candles, blowing out the fear, blowing out anything that stresses you.
And this is Earth Tribe Radio, www.earthtriberadio.com.
Your home on planet Earth.